837 News Talk Live, News Talk 105 WGEM. Greg Harley is the segment we like to call Book Notes. Now, here's a friendly reminder that Katie Krauser would not pass along because she's polite. When you borrow a book from the library, don't make notes in the margin.
We do ask that you please respect the sanctity of the book and not leave notes or, you know, drawings or, you know, things like that in the margins. The marginalia from people like Shakespeare or John Milton, you know, something like that. That's very cool. And those
are
awesome.
you're not gonna let people borrow those books.
No. And we don't have any of those books anyway.
Handwritten Shakespeare notes.
No, but, you know, unless you're a very, very famous person, we'll probably fine you for that.
That's right. And don't dog-ear the pages either.
Please, please, please. We put out bookmarks all over the building, you know, and you can use scraps of paper or anything clean and dry. You know, don't use food for a bookmark. We do occasionally.
Do people, what do they put, a Hostess pie in there or something?
Actually, the favorite thing that goes through, and I'm not sure if it's actually an urban legend in libraries or not, but that people use slices of bacon as bookmarks, which is weird to me.
Oh, come on. What a waste of bacon.
Exactly. Why are you wasting that good bacon as a bookmark? But yes, definitely, if you don't have a bookmark of your own, stop by one of the desks. We'll be happy to provide one for you.
What kind of bookmarks do you have? Do they have, like, little clever sayings on them and stuff?
My favorites are actually the ones that we get with the big read materials, and we usually get enough that they last us throughout the rest of the year, but it's quotes about reading from the authors that are part of the big read program, which is always really cool. Or we have, actually, there's a group at one of the assisted living facilities that will use old greeting cards to make bookmarks, and then we get a handful of those every once in a while. So they're very, very pretty and functional and, you know, cardstock, so it takes longer to wear them out.
Well, there you go. Now to get to the hard news, which we do on this show real often.
Every once in a while.
Every now and then. Big story was the Quincy City Council. They passed a budget.
Yes.
And they're cutting the library's budget by 4%. Now, you, of course, knew the meeting was going on last night and buried your head in a pillow.
You weren't supposed to say that out loud.
In anticipation of the news, but for right now, everything's the same at the library, right?
Yes, we are going to continue as much as possible, but of course, the reality of budget cuts in a nonprofit organization like the Quincy Public Library is that if the budget gets cut hard enough, eventually that means our services and our staff and our hours will be cut as well. So, you know, we are grieving the loss of that piece of the budget because that will prevent us from serving the public as we would hope to do. But we will try to continue as much as we can providing all of those services, including the outreach to the schools, outreach to homebound and assisted living facilities, providing the online services where we can, the kiosk out at County Market, you know, just trying to make the library as accessible as possible to as many of our patrons as possible.
And again, with summertime rolling around, a lot of people come to the library because it's air conditioned, it's comfortable, free internet. You know, I mean, it's an amazing service that people take advantage of. So, you know, perhaps support the library if you can.
Absolutely. And we do appreciate the very strong support. I know we had some of the members of the Friends of the Library that spoke at City Council meeting last night. We've gotten some really great response from our strong supporters, the people that are already using the library. But, you know, if you're a user of the library, talk to your friends about it. Let them know the joys that you get from coming to Quincy Public Library or using our services, the ways that you use the library that maybe we aren't even thinking of. One of the fun things that we've started doing is just putting out puzzles for people to use. And we have, you know, chess and checker boards at the desk that people can use if they want to use them in-house. You know, it's just one of those things to build that community and to build the idea that it's not just a place to get books.
Puzzles?
We do. We have a couple puzzles out right
now. What, like the 1,000-piece puzzles?
Yes.
Okay, so if you borrow the puzzle, bring all the pieces back.
Well, it's in the building only. We don't let them check out.
Oh, okay. Maybe they took it home and put it on their card table. My grandma used to do that.
Yes, and there are libraries that do that.
Yeah, I think it prolonged her life, or at least it made her life seem longer, you know, putting those together. But she'd have a card table, and she'd get it all put together and leave it there for like a week so people could come by and admire it.
Well, that sense of satisfaction of having completed something.
Yeah, and those are hard, though.
Yes, some of them are. Actually, we have one right now that's a 3D puzzle of King Tut's head, which is I'm fascinated to watch how they're building this, because it's just pieces of cardboard stacked on top of each other until it makes a 3D sculpture.
It's 3D. It's like a sculpture.
Yes.
But it's a puzzle.
It's a puzzle. Because you have to put the pieces on in the right order in order to make it look like his head.
Okay, so this is a work in progress right now?
It is.
So anybody can just go and take a look?
Yes, and put a piece on.
And okay.
Yes, be part of the community building.
Well, there's the challenge right there.
Exactly.
Yeah, lots to do with the library. And, of course, we always talk about what Katie's reading every week, because Katie's a bookworm.
Because I'm always reading. That's what I do.
Well, you have the perfect job. You read all the time. You're in the library. You know, you'd be there anyway if you didn't work there, so it works out.
It does. It works out very well. But, you know, it is a myth that librarians just get to sit around and read all day. We really do not. We are doing so many other things all day long that we have to find time when we're at home or when we're on breaks. I love going down into our staff room at lunchtime because everybody has a book open. It's my favorite thing. But we're not reading on work time. We're reading on our break times. So it's fantastic. I love it.
Well, that's great. If you did read on work time, so what?
Well, we have a lot of other tasks that have to be done.
You have to keep up with those.
You
might be reading some educational material that will help you perform your job better.
And we do. We have lots of journals, and that's how we do our book selection. So it's a great way to learn.
So after talking about the educational books that she reads, now we're going to talk about a romance novel.
No. Actually, today I have a book that I started out listening to it as a book on CD, and then I was like, no, I have to read this in print because the words are so poetic and moving. The book is called H is for Hawk, and it was written by Helen MacDonald. Now, she is an author, a poet, an illustrator, a naturalist from England. She is connected with the University of Cambridge and is an amazing author.
So is their football team called the Hawks at the University of Cambridge?
No.
Okay, maybe
no,
it was. Okay,
no,
okay.
No. She actually, the book is about falconing, and when her father died unexpectedly, she was kind of spiraled into this grief, and she didn't know how to take herself out of it. And so, you know, one night as she's laying awake, kind of just grieving for her father, she decides to get up and go out into the local swampland, basically. They call it the Brecks, and the broken land, and go looking for a goshawk. And I was not familiar with a goshawk personally.
I'm not either, so let's start there.
But it is a large hawk, and it is one of the larger birds that they use for falconry. You know, we think of red-tailed hawks and sparrow hawks and things like that. This particular hawk that she's talking about is 19 to 24 inches tall and is, yes, so sizable.
Yeah.
You know, this isn't a peregrine falcon or a little, you know, quick-moving bird. This is a hefty...
Not a parakeet.
No, this is a hefty bird. And
this is a bird that will eat your cat, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. Not a fun bird to
no,
be around.
No, no.
And it's actually the most vicious of the birds that are used for falconing. And so she goes out looking for these birds, and they're very rare in England because at one point they were even extinct on the island. They had to ship new ones in to rehabitat them.
And if they're really vicious birds, that seems like that'd be difficult to ship them in.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah.
So falconers had to kind of do this one and two at a time to try to get some breeding pairs started and things like that. But they are starting to repopulate in England. And so she went out looking for them and started reinvesting herself in the idea that, you know, maybe as a way to bring herself out of her grief over her father's death, she could train a goshawk. And one of the books that she used to, you know, help herself get along with this is a book by T.H. White, who we know from writing The Once and Future King, which is The Sword and the Stone and the Legend of Arthur. He also wrote a book called The Goshawk because he was also a falconer. And so she's reading that book at the same time that she is training the new bird that she has purchased, who she names Mabel, which is, you know, so we have Helen
and
Mabel.
Okay, so this is this vicious bird, the most vicious of all the hawks, and she's training it.
Yes, training
that it. That seems like there could be injury involved or something.
No, it's not that kind of an outdoor book. This is nature writing. But the way that she describes it and the way that she uses the words in the book to talk about the bird and to talk about herself and really come through this healing process from, you know, being so devastated by grief to those steps of, you know, first just being still and staying where you are and recognizing that sometimes you have to let things come to you instead of chasing after them. You know, because in the beginning, when she goes out looking for the birds in the wild, she remembers, you know, you have to stay still and just let every, you know, make yourself disappear into that landscape so that the birds don't even realize you're there, so that they feel safe enough to come out to you. And what a great lesson that is for her in her grieving process, that sometimes she has to just be still and work through it until her life starts happening again around her. So just wonderful lessons from Helen MacDonald in this book. And of course, then the stories of working with the hawk and gaining the hawk's trust, and then what they're able to accomplish together.
And what kind of neat tricks did she teach the hawk?
Well, I mean, with hawking, you're hunting. So,
okay,
you know,
there you go.
Hunting for small mammals, you know, other small birds or rabbits or, you know, things like that. But
go
also
get dinner.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And what a great, and realistically, you know, there is a great ceremony to hawking and falconing, because they have to have the hoods and the gloves, and, you know, you only go out at certain times, and, you know, kind of like we have our turkey hunters and deer hunters that have their ceremonies that, you know, they go out and they have to be in the woods and hunt and reconnect with nature in order to find the things that they are seeking.
So do the people wear the hoods and the gloves, or do the hawks wear the hoods and the gloves?
Well, both, actually.
Okay,
yes.
Yeah.
The hoods go on the birds.
Right.
But you have to have, because they have talons, that's what they grab with. So you have to have very heavy leather gloves in order for the bird to perch on your arm and not do damage to you.
Yeah, particularly while you're putting this hood on,
yes,
on its head. I'm sure they love that.
Yes. But she also talks about, you know, making the harness, and there are you know, we would think of like a horse's bridle or something like that, but the harness that holds the bird on once she has him on her arm. So it's a wonderful story, and just so beautifully written. You know, the little gems of wisdom on every page.
It sounds like this would be a great little movie.
It would be.
It would be awesome.
It would be a great movie.
You know, the soundtrack I sort of have in my head, although I don't write music.
But you could.
No, I can't. I could hum it, but it would be off key.
That's all right.
And nobody would go see it. But it sounds really, really like a nice little book.
I think it's wonderfully written, and we are looking forward to discussing it with one of our book clubs in the next month.
There you go. And we're going to talk about events at the library here in a moment.
All right.
But first, these messages. News Talk 105 WGEM, 10 minutes till 9.
Everybody dance now.
9 till 9, News Talk 105 WGEM. And how about that weather forecast? You gotta like this. It's sunny skies. That's the word, according to WGEM StormTrack meteorologist Kevin Shive, who's always right when he has a forecast that we like. If we don't like the forecast, we just call it fake weather, right? Real stuff today. 74 for a high, 53 now, and sun shining. We're talking with Katie Krauser from Quincy Public Library, and we talked about a really neat book. We were talking about our ideas for the screenplay for this for this H is for Hawk. That should be a motion picture.
Well, and during the break, I looked it up. There actually was a PBS special that was done about it. H is for Hawk, a new chapter that was done back in November of 2017. So
not very long ago.
No.
So, well, you probably find that online and watch that somewhere.
Absolutely.
You know, or maybe it'd be one of the gifts that the PBS stations give away during pledge time.
That would be fantastic.
You know, you get your tote bag, your coffee mug, and your DVD.
Yes, copy of H is for Hawk.
Yeah, that sounds really neat. It's just, you know, nature, bird films in general, I like.
Yes.
You know, I like the birds. I think a lot of people do. I think mm-hmm. everybody does.
Yes.
Except for maybe duck hunters. but then again, they enjoy eating bird. You know, poultry is good for you, apparently.
Better than some other things you could eat, definitely.
You know, I often think about, and I'm sure there are books in the library, the history of food, and I often think about the first human being who cracked open an egg and said, "That looks delicious."
Don't you wonder about that? Those origins.
Wonder about some of those origins and stuff.
Yes.
There's a motion picture too, perhaps. A little made for TV movie for the Food Network, maybe.
That would be great. But yes, we do have books on the history of food and the origins of specific dishes. But actually, I always think there's a line in a movie that I haven't watched in years, but the character is talking about haggis. And he says that he thinks that all Scottish food is based on a dare. Like, you know, nobody would eat that unless somebody said, I dare you to eat that.
Yeah, but, you know, yeah, haggis just sounds like it's delicious, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
They couldn't have named it anything worse either. But
well, we've got events at the library. We always have events at the library.
Of course we do.
And always fun stuff going on. It's just not a place to go be quiet.
Right.
There are actually events where you can participate. You can make noise.
And we
in a nice, respectful way.
Yes.
Using your indoor voice.
We do encourage, especially the children, and in the children's library, you know, we understand you can't always keep children quiet. Sometimes we have a hard time keeping the adults quiet. But, you know, we do also ask, you know, if you are being rowdy, rackety, listening to your cell phone at a loud volume or something like that, we'll probably stop you, because there are still a lot of patrons in the library who appreciate some silence or quiet or respectful distance from other humans.
But there are events, though, that lend themselves to being noisy, and we're going to talk about some of those.
Well, of course.
Yes.
Especially our story times. We just love these children coming into the story times, and we have such a good time with that. So on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we do toddler time and pre-K story time. One on each day, and it's just a great time. These start at 10:15, and it includes not just stories. We do a lot of interactive things with the kids. So we do finger plays, we have songs, they get to get up and move and dance and do activities, and then, of course, craft time afterwards. So, you know, we release them from the story time room, and just there's all that pent-up excitement from having been at a great event. So we love having the kids come in for that. Now, this week is slightly different because the library is going to be closed on Friday. This is our annual day for the staff to get together and do some training. We also recognize people who are having work anniversaries at this time. And, you know, we just kind of get ourselves geared up for the next year. So the library will be closed on Friday, but we'll open again on Saturday morning at regular time. And we'll look forward to seeing all of our friends here on Saturday. Another big event that we have coming up this week, and it's actually the Chamber of Commerce Business Before Hours event. So we're inviting all of the chamber members to come to the library, and that's it. That is before hours, so it's not open to the public, but if you're a chamber member, you're welcome to come in, and we'll be talking about the services that the library provides and maybe find out from the business owners what we can do to help them in the coming year. So we'll be very excited to have that. On Wednesday, we also have our event for teens, which is our Wee Wednesday from 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. You know, if you have not been to this or have not peeked into the room while this is going on, it is really a fantastic opportunity for these teenagers. We have Wee stations set up. We have we do book bingo once a month. They have book discussions once a month. And then once a month, the Teen Advisory Board meets. And they talk about the programs and events and activities that they would like to see happen for teenagers in the library that are library sponsored. And it's not just that they get to tell us what they want to do and then leave. They actually have to be involved with this. So there are committees. They have volunteer opportunities. They'll be helping us with our summer reading kickoff coming up in June. So, you know, it's just this great, really dedicated group of teens. And we love having them in the library. So it's, you know, always a good time.
And that's great, though. You get people playing games with each other as opposed to playing games with each other online.
Right.
You know, the virtual friends, well, they're fun. But real people in the same places is even more fun. The interaction is just awesome and one of the services provided
Absolutely.
By the library.
And of course, tonight we have our adult coloring group. So if you would like to come in and relax with us, come to the library at 5 o'clock and we will be coloring in the large meeting room. We usually have some hot tea or, you know, something like that. You can make hot chocolate and, you know, just sit and color and relax and enjoy. And, you know, it's a great time.
So do you have to have a library card to come color, or just anybody can show up?
We do not require you to have a library card to come and color.
There you go. Just show up.
Just show up. Of course, we will encourage you to get a library card once you're in the building, but you are not required to have it to show up.
Well, there you go. Of course, if you look around and find things you'd like to take home, you're probably going to need to get a card.
We would love to see that happen.
Well, there you
and,
go.
You know, we have all kinds of great materials. We have the downloadables, as I said earlier, the kiosk out at County Market. So you can get onto the library's website, quincylibrary.org, and do all of these things whenever it's most convenient for you.
Or stop at the library, go see Katie, and say, hey, I heard you on Book Notes the other day. Thanks for coming in, Katie.
Thank you, Greg.
It's 8:58.